census. That's what led the DOD to release images taken from a U.S. Navy surveillance aircraft showing what they say are small Iranian boats with Iranian guards attempting to remove an unexploded mine from the side of one of the two ships attacked. Iranian officials, they deny having anything to do with these attacks on the tankers.
On the campaign trail, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in the first primary state of New Hampshire today, attacking President Trump after he told ABC's George Stephanopoulos that he would accept political dirt from a foreign adversary.
It's thoughtless. It is something that is so harmful to our constitutional democracy and to our faith in our elections.
But the president changed his answer later.
With George, he kind of scoffed at the idea that he'd go to the FBI if the Kremlin or another foreign government offered him dirt on Fox and about face. He said he'd absolutely go to the FBI, but he'd have to listen to it first to see what it was.
ABC Chief National Correspondent Terry Moran. A Hong Kong extradition bill to hand suspects over to mainland China that sparked mass protests has been shelved.
The Hong Kong government said it would suspend its plan to introduce the controversial legislation, but has stopped short of the full withdrawal that protesters demanded. Chief Executive Carrie Lam did not give a timetable for its reintroduction, but hinted that it might return at some point. Dozens of people, including a number of police officers, were injured in the mass demonstrations. Lam defended the actions of police who have been accused by rights groups of using excessive force. Julia McFarlane, ABC News at the Foreign Desk in London.
And you're listening to ABC News.
The kids were asking what to get you for Father's Day. Your son suggested a World's Greatest Dad t-shirt. And the girl's going with a pony.
Pony. Sweet.
Seriously, what can the kids get you?
You know what I'd really love?
That baseball card collection your mom threw out.
No. Well, yeah, but you know how I've been working late and traveling more?
Yeah.
Well, I worry about you guys, and I was reading reviews for Blink security cameras. People love these things. You can watch almost every angle of your house with these cameras, indoors and outdoors. They're motion activated, so when it detects something, I'll get an alert to my Blink smartphone app with a video of what it spotted.
Cool. So you're going Blink cameras over a pony.
No ponies, no t-shirts.
Blink indoor cameras are 20% off now through Father's Day, June 16th. Home security just got easier. Visit blinkprotect.com/news. blinkprotect.com/news. Also available on Amazon and at Best Buy.
One person is dead, others injured after gunfire broke out in a Southern California Costco store on Friday evening. It happened in Corona, east of Los Angeles. ABC's Alex Stone is in L.A.
Police in Corona say it was an argument that turned deadly. Some kind of an argument in the back of the Costco, and then shots were fired. Lieutenant Jeff Edwards.
Four subjects down. There's one deceased male who has yet to been identified. There was two other adults with apparent gunshot wounds that have been transported to local area hospitals.
Panic shoppers hid in the store and then went running out after the gunfire. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
A professional athlete is tying the knot with a nurse who saved his life at St. Mary's Medical Center in West Palm Beach, Florida. ABC's Mona Rivera has more.
Champion kiteboarder Damian Leroy could have died 3 years ago after a fall at Juno Beach. One thing cut through the pain.
I saw this beautiful blue-eyed girl come in and was just like, wow.
It was Alexandra Hoover, a member of the hospital trauma team, and she helped nurse him back to health. Now, 3 years later, Leroy went back to that same hospital room to surprise Alex with a ring.
Alexandra Hoover, will you marry me?
Oh, my God.
That was a yes.
Yeah.
A happy ending for the paraglider who cheated death. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Lowe's knows you'll do it right to make this Father's Day Dad's best one yet. We do it right, too, with savings and the tools he needs to tackle his to-do list. Like your choice of a Kobalt 2-piece 24-volt cordless outdoor power equipment combo kit with leaf blower and string trimmer for $129. Or for $129, get a Kobalt 2-tool 24-volt max brushless combo kit, including a drill and impact driver. And save big on a Kobalt 227-piece mechanics tool set now for just $99. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 6/19 U.S. only.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Scattered clouds throughout the weekend, partly cloudy today at 73, 60 on the coast, mostly cloudy tonight, low 52, 50 on the shores. More clouds for Sunday at 78, 64 in Bodega Bay. Monday does get a bit warmer at 86, 70 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market.
I like plants.
Gladiolus.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living give without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air
and
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
Well, it's the nicest place to spend Saturday morning, except if you're out in your garden. Well, of course, you can bring your mobile listening device and enjoy Garden Talk that way, too, in the KSRO greenhouse this morning. Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, hosting the show as always. Thanks for stopping by for a couple hours. As always, you can join our conversation anytime during the two-hour period from 9 to 11, simply by calling us 636-1350 with a question about what might be going wrong in your garden, if it's time to plant so-and-so or fertilize so-and-so or prune so-and-so, or a success story. We like that too. Even though we oftentimes focus on solving problems, we sure like to hear success stories. So share that with us and our listeners at 636-1350, or you can always shoot us an email if you're working at your laptop this morning or on your cell phone, steve@ksro.com. You can always, as you know, attach a photo or so if you'd like a plant identified or there's a plant problem you want us to look at. For your efforts, you will be rewarded. You'll have a chance to win one of two pair of tickets to the Sonoma Marin Fair that's happening this coming weekend, Wednesday through Sunday, and we'll be broadcasting the show live, as a matter of fact, next Saturday from 9 to noon. And the cool thing is, with these admission tickets, we're also throwing in the Sonoma Marin Fair's wine garden tickets. It allows you entrance into the beautiful shade-covered wine garden, plus three tastes of award-winning gold medal wines from the North of the Gate wine competition. Well, and by the way, we'll be talking with Carol Shelton, whose award-winning Carignan won Best of Show sweepstakes for her red wine. And also we'll be talking to Jamie Benzinger from Imagery Winery, her beautiful white wine, best white wine of the show, Albarino. You can taste both those great wines when you come to the fair next week. So if you get in with a question or comment this hour, you'll be entered into the random drawing shortly before 11 o'clock, and you may be going to the fair courtesy of KSRO Garden Talk in the Good Food Hour. Speaking of which, John Ash in the KSRO kitchen at 11 o'clock, as we are thrilled to welcome members of La Cocina, this wonderful incubator entrepreneurial tank based in San Francisco that helps immigrant women and women of color set up their own food businesses. It's a remarkable success story, which started in 2004, and their new cookbook just came out this week. It's called We Are La Cocina, Recipes in Pursuit of the American Dream. Five members will be in our KSRO kitchen today, and we'll be giving away an autographed copy of this absolutely moving cookbook, La Cocina. 636-1350, you can reach Gwen and Steve at this moment as we speak in the KSRO greenhouse. Let's start over in Sebastopol with Phil. He's first on the list. Welcome to KSRO and Garden Talk. Morning, Phil. What can we do for you?
Well, I am standing out next to my cherry tree, trying to eat a cherry or two, and I'm finding that, and this is a cherry tree that has been grafted with some Bings and some Royal Ams and something else I don't recognize, And the cherries are weird this season. They seem a little watery. They don't have quite as much flavor. And there's a lot. I would say 5 to 10% of them are stunted and just shriveled.
Yep.
And then there's quite a few that seem to be getting rotten and have mold on them.
Yep.
I've never seen them.
Yeah, Gwen's seen it.
Unfortunately, it's because of all the rain that we had when the cherries were growing and they were developing and forming, and the root system was too wet, the ground was too wet, it's too cold. The cherry trees were not happy campers this year. So just about all the cherries have some issues going on with them. And so, yeah, you just, you know, eat what you can, enjoy those, and let's hope for better weather next year that's more favorable for the cherries.
Have you had good production on that cherry tree before, Phil?
Oh, yeah, it's always been very good. The one thing I did last year that was a little different, I pruned it fairly heavily because it was getting way, way too tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that might have been a factor, but maybe not.
No, not at all.
I was over in Napa last week on a 6-acre organic farm friends of mine own, and they have about a 35-foot cherry tree. They've owned this property for years, and this was the first year they have bupkis on their cherry tree. It just looked terrible.
They have what on their tree?
Bupkis. It means they don't have much production at all.
Okay.
And what little production they do have, the birds get to them before, and they said, we're just writing off this year for the cherry tree.
Yeah.
Well, that's my feeling is that this is the first year that I don't resent the birds.
No. Yeah, they'll clean them up for you.
So nothing really you could have done or anticipated this,
no,
right, Gwen?
It was just all because of the weather. So, like I said, we'll keep our fingers crossed for better weather next year for the cherries.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
Enjoy good eating next year, hopefully. From Petaluma, California, we have Kathleen, who would like a word with us in the KSRO Greenhouse. Welcome to Garden Talk this morning. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello there. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi.
I was listening to your the woman that called in about the butterfly bush and cutting it down each year. What I'm wondering is I have an old butterfly bush that was from really old stock, so I get all different kinds of blossoms on it, white and purple and pink. It's beautiful. I've never cut it back. It's about 25 feet wide and maybe 15 feet tall.
Wow.
Should I be trimming it down or just let it be happy and go?
For right now, let it be happy and go and bloom and all that. And in the wintertime, when it loses all of its leaves and you can see the structure, the framework, the branches, everything going on with the tree, then you can maybe, if you have to, do some selective pruning and prune out to the ground some of the branches that maybe look like they're starting to fall over, branches that are crisscrossing, growing in towards the tree instead of outward. And you've never cut it back before, cut the height down?
I haven't.
You haven't?
I've pruned one, but I've had it about 15 years. I grew it from a little plant that was, you know, transplanted from a very, very old home up in Nevada City, and it's actually in Grass Valley where it's growing right now. So we get snow and everything, but I have never trimmed it. He just is happy where it is, and I planted another one down the hill from it, and it's never done very well. But I have trimmed off some branches that were looking kind of sparse. They weren't, you know, as full as the others when they were in bloom or anything, and so I have trimmed those back down.
Okay.
And I haven't trimmed any of the main part of the bush. So I just was wondering, am I doing it no favors by not trimming it down?
No, you're not. Sometimes we interfere too much or we prune back too much, and you know, pruning does help and invigorate and keeps the plant compact and this and that, but it depends on what plant it is and if you really have to prune. So, you know, look at your plants this year, too. And you made a good point that you were, you know, looking at one of the big branches and it wasn't growing as well as the others. Well, then, you know, if it's okay to cut that back now, then you can go ahead and do that. If not, tie a little green tape or something around it so you'll remember that branch. And then when winter comes, you'll know that that's the branch that you're going to cut out. If okay. you have, if have you been cutting them back at all after they finished blooming?
No,
nothing.
I haven't.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the plant is only going to grow so high. It's going to send out new shoots where it wants to, and it's going to do what it wants to do without you interfering. Okay. So I would leave it alone. Don't fix anything if it's not broken.
Does that help, Kathleen?
Okay. It does, and I have one more quick question about a young pear tree that's growing.
Sure.
It's putting out a lot of you know, branches and everything. I've always thought that if on a branch you have, like, I call them kind of suckers, even though they're not toward the bottom, they're growing straight up from it. I've been trimming those off so I'd get more of a natural branch. Is that the thing to do?
Well, you can, yes. The natural growth habit for pears is usually with the branches growing straight up. And trying to get them to grow horizontal is sometimes challenging. So if the branches that are growing horizontal have enough little fruiting spurs on them where you'll see potential development for some pears, then you can cut those branches that are growing straight up. Cut them. I would cut them now. Because a lot of the summer pruning that you do now, you won't have all that new growth coming up in the wintertime. I mean, in the spring, if you do the winter pruning. So, so because the problem is with those branches growing straight up off of horizontal branches, they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually they're just going to snap. They don't produce as much fruit. Then you cut them back, and then you've got this funky-looking tree. So, if you see that, you know, if you're going to cut one of those vertical branches off and you're going to leave a big hole in one part of the tree, instead of cutting it off, tie towards the tip of the branch, tie a rope or a string or something around it with a weight on it, and encourage that branch to grow more horizontal.
Okay.
And you'll leave that on for like you'll leave it on for a year or so. There's some people that do that for apple trees as well. You try to get the branches to grow horizontal because you get more fruit production, whole big long story short, compared to branches that are growing straight up. So look first before you cut, and
I will.
Then you do that, okay?
Don't worry.
Okay.
They'll be fully examined carefully.
Okay. Yes, good for you. And the Budleia is that's not the Budleia that's not doing that well, check the watering. You know, it could be in compacted soil, or it's not getting enough water, it's not getting too much, there's a drainage issue there. So be a detective and check the soil.
Okay, Kathleen?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay,
great talking with you. Thanks for the call. Why don't we take a very quick break, and I mean 2 minutes and 45 seconds or so, and then we'll come back and chat with Sue and Judy. Live Garden Talk every Saturday morning since 1987 on KSRO. We're delighted that you've stuck with the program, and we are always having new people discovering the program every Saturday, too. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher in the greenhouse at 11:05. Good listening continues with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen and members from La Cocina, the wonderful women that have put together their first cookbook just out this week. They're coming up from San Francisco, Oakland, and Berkeley to join John Ash and me live in the KSRO kitchen. One of you will win an autographed copy of this very wonderful, inspirational cookbook, Recipes in Pursuit of the American Dream.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Hello, Stan Klaus of Crandall Roofing here with great news for Sonoma County. No doubt many of you have heard that construction is booming in our area, and as a result, wait times for reputable contractors have grown to months or even years. Well, I'm happy to report that Crandall Roofing has been able to add to and restructure our personnel to reduce our wait times for residential re-roofs to weeks, not months. That's right, wait times at Crandall Roofing have been reduced to weeks, not months. So even though construction is backed up in Sonoma County, you can still have a factory-trained, diamond-certified company with thousands of satisfied customers install your roof. To get the process started, just give Crandall Roofing a call at 586-2500. That's 586-2500, or find us on the web at crandallroofing.com.
Over 5,500 people in the greater Bay Area have trusted the re-roofing of their home to Crandall Roofing.
shouldn't you? Call 586-2500.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts, the best produce this season from Singing Frogs, Bernier, Armstrong Valley, and Lantern Farm. The Beet Generation has a large selection of fresh-made pasta, savor farm-fresh eggs, delicious cheeses, and fresh fruit, apricots, peaches, nectarines, strawberries, and cherries. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, and duck. Anna's fresh seafood and Franco's freshly made sausages. The best choices of food vendors, the Greengrocer's Farm Fresh Menu, Lata's Indian Cuisine is returned with their exotic dishes, and Ellie's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa original certified farmers market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Wesley had IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Coming after my house, my car. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
Wesley called Optima Tax Relief.
Oh, they were great people. Optima Tax. They know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-973-7700. 800-973-7700.
Optima Tax Relief. Start your career as a full-time bartender or beverage server at Grayton. Meet Sergio from 630 Park Steakhouse.
One of the things that I believe is very important is stability. We offer not only full-time, but the benefit package is ridiculously good.
Enroll in our free bartender school today. Earn great pay plus tips in a fast-paced and fun environment. Visit GraytonResortCasino.com for details.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
I'll tell you what, the first time in 13 years of living in our property, our hydrangea got fried during those 2 days. Never has happened. We've had hot weather before, but like you said, Gwen, the wind, the combination of those 105 degree days with that wind, mm-hmm. We went out in the back and said, what happened? Mm-hmm. Not all of it, but some of it.
Was it in the, so it gets a afternoon sun?
It got, yeah.
Shame
yeah.
on
the,
you.
The stuff that was in the shade, mm-hmm. part of the hydrangea didn't get burned, but yeah. the stuff that was exposed just looked yeah. like a blowtorch on it. It was unbelievable. A little recover. From lovely Rohnert Park, California, we have Sue that would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Hi, Sue.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. One is my persimmon, the leaves are getting lighter at the top, and I don't know what's going on. It's darker green at the bottom.
They do that. Especially the older trees, it seems like. I have a big, giant persimmon tree, and it also is doing that. But I've noticed that those leaves up there, they get more sun than the leaves down lower part of the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And so okay. it could be that, you know, they're just, they're so luscious and big and beautiful. I think that they're getting a lot of sun, and it's just a little bit of, I don't want to say too much sun, but that's just what they're going to do. Make sure you give your tree like a good deep watering every once in a while. Persimmons don't need a lot of water, but they don't want to dry out either, okay? Because then you'll have you'll have the brown patches with sunburning and sun scalding on your leaves as well as the fruit if it doesn't have enough water. So
it's 2 years old, and I thought, oh, gosh, something's going on.
No,
okay, maybe I haven't been watering it enough either.
Yeah, and make sure you put some mulch around the base, you know, around the
ground. Yeah, I did that.
Okay. But just check.
Yeah, I will. I'll watch that. The lemon is a dwarf. It's in the ground, and it's about 3 years old. And at the, there are like two huge, they're skinny branches, but they shoot up higher than the lower branches, and they're not getting any blossoms or fruit, and I don't know why that is.
Okay, look at the trunk of the lemon tree, and then you'll see a little knobby thing obviously then that's where they grafted that tree. If it's
okay,
if it's grafted, I mean, that you'll see the difference between what's coming out of the ground, that little connection where they put the top part of the tree on, and mm-hmm. that's the graft, okay? Yes. If those shoots yes. are coming from below that or from out of the ground, then those are suckers, and you can go ahead and cut them off, okay?
Yeah. No, they're, yeah, these are up higher. They're like, maybe I pruned them goofy, but they're sort of shoot, like I say, I don't know, they're healthy, but okay. the tall ones are really tall.
Okay. Do they have any big, long and thorns on them?
No.
No? Okay. Then just no. cut them back so they're in balance with the rest of the tree. Okay?
Okay.
And then, you know, yeah. maybe those are just two shoots that are going to town, and,
okay.
you know, they're taking more nutrients than the other branches. So don't worry about them yet. If they start producing those long, thin thorns on them, then you'll want to uh-huh. just cut them out, because that could be just vegetative growth that is just taking off, and it doesn't need to be there. Okay?
Okay. What about the leaves look like they're sort of curling forward, upward, rather than
only on those
downward?
Two branches? Or
no, all of the tree. I'm out here looking. I'm saying, oh, my gosh,
okay.
some of the leaves are curling inward.
Okay. It could be that you have some little insect in there that's sucking the juice out of the leaves. So uncurl the leaves and look very carefully. See if you see anybody in there. If not, if it's most of the plant that's doing that, it could be a physiological thing that happens with the citrus. It happens a lot with tomatoes. The leaves don't they don't like being hot, then cold, hot, then cold.
Yeah.
And so they just do that. Okay.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Oh, there is a bug in this one. Oh, my God. A pincher bug.
Oh. Okay. Well, he wouldn't be curling up the leaves, so he's just hiding.
No, okay.
He just found
just
a place.
Okay.
Yeah, he's taking a siesta in there, so. But, you know, get rid of them, and
I will, yeah.
And if you don't see any little bugs, any little aphids or scales or anything, then it's just a physiological thing, and don't worry about it. The tree will take care of itself.
Wonderful. I appreciate your help. Okay. Thank you very much.
Now, one more thing, Susan.
Yes.
With your persimmon tree, if you should see that the leaves, okay, you see the green veins and the rest of the leaf is a lighter color, then that's a nitrogen, an iron deficiency thing. So that's another story.
Okay.
So if you should happen to see that, you call me back and we'll talk about that. But if the leaves are just a general light green color, don't worry about them.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good. All righty. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure. Okay. Good talking with you, Sue. Judy is up next, and Judy has also sent us a photo, Gwen. So if you would like to access our KSRO email at this point.
Is this Judy from
Windsor? This is Judy. It is, and she sent us a stargaze lily. Judy, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hello.
Ooh.
Good morning.
So we have a photo that you have sent us, quite a lovely photo. And of your, it looks like it's a little brown on top.
Yeah, I have these three stargazer lilies that come up faithfully every year. And this one looks like somebody took a blowtorch to the top. Last year it did the same thing, and I thought it was a quirk. But this year, by the time it was halfway grown and just a little tight budding on the top, it was this knot of blackness that has opened up to not, you know, all these brown leaves. You know what's going on with that?
Are these guys getting hit with overhead watering?
No.
No overhead watering. Because it
no
looks like, it just looks like the top growth there is just all rotting out. How are they getting watered? How often?
Well, they hadn't gotten watered very much yet this year because the ground was so wet.
Okay.
And this started out, a month or more ago. Just as it started growing up, it had all of this blackness at the top.
That's real interesting because you have two plants. They're identical plants, side by side. One looks really good, and the other one, the top part of it is all browning out. Like, it looks like it got hit with a blowtorch or something. That, and it happened last year.
Yes, that's the mystery.
The
it
same
did it last year, I couldn't think of any cause of it last year.
The same, Judy, the same
exactly
plant
the same.
Did the same thing, not the other one?
Yes, correct.
That's bizarre.
Well, I feel honored that you are puzzled by it as well.
Oh, dang. You know, this looks like something that would happen when the bulb, as it's growing, it was getting root rot. So there was too much water, and so it's growing, and it's not happy, and the root system, instead of taking up water to the top part of the plant, the root system's sucking water out of the plant. So from other tips of the leaves, they're browning, and it's working its way through the whole leaf. I can't quite tell from the photo.
I think that the parts that are brown started out brown when it was about half the growth it is now. It was a tight knot of leaves at the top as it was starting to bud.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it has spread. I think it's just the way it was as it was growing up.
Did you ever see it covered with aphids? When it was still in that knotted stage before it started shooting up?
No, I've never seen any aphids on these at all.
Did you dig into the soil and see what it's like? You know, how easy is it to dig around that particular plant?
You know, I didn't dig into the soil. They're on a gentle slope, so I can't think that they were drowning.
Well,
but
they could have been. I mean, with all the rain that we got and it's constantly absorbed into the soil, it could be in a clay pan. What you need to do for me is get a little trowel and dig around that bulb and see how easy or not it is to dig a hole into that soil. And if it's pretty clay and gummy and or hard as a rock and dry, it's a watering issue. And for some reason, that plant can't handle it. Maybe where the other one is planted, the soil drains a little bit better, or it's getting a little bit more water or not. But it's hard to tell because sometimes not enough water and too much water, the symptoms can be a lot alike.
Would a close-up help you at all of that? Not really.
No, her digging in the soil and telling me she finds would be best. So,
I'm sticking my fingers in, and the soil is still damp, even though we haven't had any rain for a couple weeks.
And you didn't water it?
No, I didn't water it.
And it's still damp. He's teetering on root rot. So the bulb is compromised and it's trying to grow.
Oh.
And maybe, you know, the soil was drying out. We got that late rain in May sometime. And then it's just, it's probably in a bad spot. It's not going to get any better. I would dig the thing up and move it someplace else. Maybe put it in a pot. Let the root system dry out a bit. Let the bulb dry out. Or just abort the whole thing and then dump it and don't plant anything in that spot.
Oh, my baby.
Yeah, well, you know, and you don't, you can't dig it out and then cut the leaves off of it because that bulb needs all that greenery to die back and to give it energy for next year's growth. So if you're going to cut it short, then you're going to have a problem with the bulb probably not doing anything next year or just shriveling up. It's going to shrivel up and die.
Okay, Judy?
Leave it up. The whole thing finish up this year.
Okay. All right. Wow. How wild.
Well, good. That was an excellent photo and an excellent recovery, Gwen. You did really well on analyzing what it could be, although Judy didn't like the news. Have me dig that up. But okay, Judy, thanks for sharing that with us.
Okay.
Take care. We'll be right back. Deborah, don't go away from Petaluma. We're interested to find out what's happening with your Honeycrisp apple tree. Garden Talk Live on KSRO continues after this.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sonoma County.
That's Dr. Walter Tom's staff thanking you, Sonoma County, for voting Dr. Walter Tom, the Press Democrat, best cosmetic surgeon. Why? He listens. He cares. And he and his team are highly skilled in cosmetic procedures.
Thank you to our wonderful patients who voted us, the Press Democrat Best Cosmetic Surgeon, for a third year in a row. We are humbled by your kindness and will continue to strive to achieve the best cosmetic results possible, because patient happiness and their self-confidence is our top priority.
The best. Botox, fillers, lasers, hair transplants, smart lipo, tummy tucks, and breast augmentation. A true professional with skills beyond the ordinary. Cosmetic surgeon, Dr. Walter Tom. Contact his office today for a free consultation or visit his website at drwaltertom.com. drwaltertom.com.
We love you, Sonoma County!
Did you know that flushing and servicing your water heater will increase the performance, efficiency, and life expectancy of your hot water system? Now through March 31st, Ongrow & Sons is offering a water heater flush, service, and safety inspection regularly priced at $224 or just $59.
Hello friends, this is Ernie Ongrow. Along with my brother Paul and cousins Dean and Mitch, we own and operate Ongrow & Sons Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. We're a family business opened in 1932 by our grandfather. It's always been a big part of our lives. Just like our parents before us, we grew up around the shop, getting our hands dirty, learning the value of hard work, and giving our customers the very best. Whether you need maintenance, a repair, or want to update your system, remember, Ongrow & Sons, we're always here for you.
To schedule a $59 water heater flush, service, and safety inspection, visit OngrowAndSons.com or call 579-3511. Ongrow & Sons Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a modern company since 1932.
It's 8 decades of fun at the Sonoma Marin Fair, June 19th to the 23rd, where all the concerts and carnival rides are included in the price of admission.
Enjoy live music and entertainment every day. The world's ugliest dog contest, and sprint car races.
Opening night Wednesday, June 19th, it's Loverboy, and Friday is Lifehouse. Taste award-winning wines from the North of the Gate Wine Competition in the Wine Garden, and meet the winemakers at the Taste of the Gate event Saturday evening.
Tickets and info at sonoma-marinfair.org.
It's Paradise!
Paradise Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the day. Try doggy daycare. It helps your dog socialize, learn dog etiquette, and get exercise. There's all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts.
It's Paradise!
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Scattered clouds throughout the weekend, partly cloudy today at 73, 60 on the coast, mostly cloudy tonight, low 52, 50 on the shores. More clouds for Sunday at 78, 64 in Bodega Bay. Monday does get a bit warmer at 86, 70 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Well, you still have about 15, 20 minutes to get in to qualify to win those wonderful tickets to the Sonoma Marin Fair. And join us if you're coming on Saturday live at the Sonoma Marin Fair in Petaluma. We have tickets for admission, and this year we're throwing in tickets for the Wine Garden. 3 tastes of wine plus admission to the Wine Garden. And you can taste some of those gold medal sweepstakes winning wines, courtesy of KSRO. 636-1350, or you can shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Deborah from Petaluma, thanks for holding and welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We planted a Honeycrisp 3 years ago, and it was a really small one, you know, like a little twig. And we've been training it to, like, go like how do you call it, like when you do the arms out?
Espaliered? Like kind of flat?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yes. And we have somebody that is a really good gardener. They work at the Cottage Gardens, who's helping us with it. And we've not had one flower. And this is the third year. And is there something we need to do to pollinate it? Or, like, is it a dud? Should we take it out? I mean, and this year we got a lot of leaves. And, it looks pretty and it's, you know, tripled in size, but not one flower.
Is it in sun all day long?
In sun all day long?
Mm-hmm.
It's still got a lot of sun. I mean, he planted it in a place where it would grow. He knows how to plant everything because of his, I mean, he's got a degree in gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And horticulture.
But, okay, but things could have grown around it and whatnot.
No, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing around it. Okay. It's the only thing that's behind it is a fence. It's far enough away from the fence. It's been fed. It gets regular drip water in the summertime when it's really hot. It is about 6 feet, maybe 6 feet tall at this point, and maybe 4 feet wide, you know, the branches that are going out.
And when you prune it in the wintertime, does it have any, along the branches, does it have any indications or any little stubs coming out that are the fruiting spurs? Do you see any fruiting spurs?
And nothing.
Nothing on the tree. Can you see the graft?
Do I see the graft?
Yeah.
No.
When you're looking at the look at the ground. Are you looking at the tree now?
No.
Okay. Well, what you need to do is look at the ground, and then you work your way up the trunk, and you'll see the little knobby thing where the root system was attached to the top of the tree, which they call the scion, and that's where they grafted this. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It'd be great if you could tell me if you see that or not.
Okay, well, what if I send you a picture of it via email, and then you can tell me?
Sure, sure.
What are you thinking that if you don't see that, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking it could be two possibilities. Well, the tree was planted way too deep, and then sometimes what happens is that when that graft is underground, the graft should be above the ground and only the roots underground, and sometimes the tree just grows and grows, and I'm not sure about the whole thing, but it just doesn't want to produce any flowers or fruits because the trunk is compromised, and the tree can only do one thing, and that's stay alive and grow but not produce any flowers or fruit. The other thing is that this Honeycrisp apple is an East Coast apple, because I grew up with that in New York, and then when it came out here, everybody's going, oh, this new variety, Honeycrisp. But I'm like, new? That's been around since I was a kid. But it could be that, and I would think that that tree needs a lot of chilling hours. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be cold, under 45 degrees for, I'm going to guess, and say 700 to 800 hours. And if it doesn't get that, the tree is not going to kick in its fruit production. It just won't do that. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need to plant the correct varieties in our areas. And I was growing Honeycrisp a while ago, and my tree is probably 5 years old, and I think it started to produce one apple or two apples maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And so I think my tree probably has 5 apples on it now. So I'm thinking, and that's probably why those apples are more expensive in the store than other varieties, is that it just is not the best apple for our area. So because
how about Fuji's? Could I put in a Fuji apple tree? Would that work here?
Fuji's work really well here, but they do need...
I'm going to take it out because I'm going to just take it out. I mean, I feel like what you're saying... I hold you in the utmost regard. I feel like I was given misinformation because I asked all of the right questions. I would have never planted a tree that isn't for our zone.
But,
you know, there's just no reason.
Yeah, but I think it's...
I don't want just a pretty tree in my backyard. I want I planted it because I wanted apples.
Yeah.
You know? I have a $25 a week Honeycrisp, how do you say, habit when they're in season. Like, I absolutely love them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. My mom was scolding me one day about spending that on apples. I'm like, I used to smoke cigarettes. I spent way more on cigarettes. I'll be happy I'm spending it on apples.
Okay, well,
I'll get a Fuji apple tree, and I'll take this out, even though it's absolutely gorgeous as far as the way that it's growing.
Okay, well, wait, Deborah, don't be too hasty yet, okay? First, I want to know if that graft is underground, and then, you know, if... I also want to check out the chilling requirement hours for this tree, because I'm thinking in the back of my head, yeah, it's probably not the best variety in this area, but it does well depending on where you are and your microclimates and all that. You know, maybe somebody's going to call in and say, yeah, I get tons of apples off of my tree, but you and I aren't. The Fuji apple, you're going to need another tree because it needs a pollinator, I believe. So you're going to have to get like maybe a 3-in-1 apple tree, or maybe plant two different varieties. So, or if your neighbor has another apple tree across the fence or, you know, next door, then that's close enough to have cross-pollination going on for you to get your Fuji apples.
Okay.
I don't want you to plant that tree and then 2 years you say, you told me to plant this and I listened to you.
Yeah, it's a really small backyard. That's why we, decided to do... however you say that word, that's
French. Yeah.
There's no other fruit trees around. So maybe I just can't have an apple tree.
No, you can. But in the winter, when the bare root season starts again, get one of those trees. It could already be espaliered for you. But each layer, each tier has a different variety of apple.
Oh, cool.
So you can get 3-in-1 or 4-in-1, and there you go.
And where do you suggest that I buy it? Because I'm happy to make an investment in the start. That's what I do. I buy all of them. Pardon me?
Any of those independent nurseries should have good quality, good growing, you know, nice trees and a nice selection for you.
Okay, so, cool.
You know, you're down there.
And find out what grows in our region.
Yeah, well, everything should grow, and what the nursery sales should grow, do well in our areas. But unless you're in some microclimate where, you know, it's the winters are really protected and you don't get as cold as somewhere else, this and that, then you'll have to be a little more selective.
We're in Petaluma.
Yeah, but
we're on the east side of Petaluma by the DMV. It's not like anything special.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, you take that photo.
I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
And then you can direct me if I should take the tree out, and then I will do what you just said, because I really would love to have some apples in my backyard. I think it'd be awesome.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Rincon Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Hun, I was thinking of expanding our outdoor living space with a motorized retractable awning.
I thought you wanted a patio cover.
I did, but then I saw these new retractable awnings in action at Sonoma County Sunrooms. They're sturdy and the quality is top-notch.
So, retractable awning, huh? Sunshine and a covered patio? Sounds like something I could get behind.
Hi, this is David from SocoSun. Our design experts will work with you to create the perfect look for your home. We have so many options to help create your new favorite room.
You're right. One of these awnings will work great. What a wonderful way to expand our living space outdoors.
And it'll help add equity to our home, and we can still have it done in time for summer. Let's go check out the showroom.
And maybe we can stop for dessert on the way home.
Call to schedule a consultation in-home or at the Sonoma County Sunroom Showroom. Sunrooms, patio covers, and retractable awnings. Sonoma County Sunrooms on Santa Rosa Avenue just north of Todd, or online at SocoSun.com.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts, the best produce this season from Singing Frogs, Bernier, Armstrong Valley, and Lantern Farm. The Beet Generation has a large selection of fresh-made pasta, Savor Farm fresh eggs, delicious cheeses, and fresh fruit, apricots, peaches, nectarines, strawberries, and cherries. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, and duck. Anna's Fresh Seafood, and Franco's Freshly Made Sausages. The best choices of food vendors, the Green Grocer's Farm Fresh Menu, Lata's Indian Cuisine is returned with their exotic dishes, and Ellie's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmer's market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmer's Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Michael O'Shea here, president of KSRO. And while I run this place, I totally enjoy speaking up for local customers where I have personal experience. One of those is King's Nursery in Santa Rosa, a local business for over a century. Now think about that. How often does a new business open and then close their doors inside of 1 year? King's has been producing beautiful colors and fragrances for Sonoma County for 123 years. That earns respect in my mind, not just to me, as King's been voted best nursery in Sonoma County many years in a row. It's almost summer, and you know what that means. Gardenias. I have gardenia bushes in my yard right now, all from King's, and they are incredibly fragrant this season. What about those dahlias or juicy citrus trees? One of King's customers recently said their backyard is just like Grandma's backyard. You see, Grandma also shopped at King's. King's Nursery, corner of 13th and Stewart in Santa Rosa, just off college in the heart of the city. Learn more at kingsflowernursery.com.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO with Steve and Gwen. A few minutes left. We can squeeze in another question or two. Just cleared the lines for the first time since 9. That would be 636-1350. Or you can shoot us a last-minute email before we give away these tickets to the Sonoma Marin Fair. Steve at KSRO.com. A couple of weeks back, Joanne from Petaluma emailed us some photos of some rose damage. It says, something's eating the heck out of my roses, maybe more than one thing. There are some spider webs, too, and what to do. And we've waited a couple weeks till we got some definitive answers. Gwen, you had some thoughts about what you thought was eating these roses. And then Jim Lang, our master rosarian, also checked in. And what did he have to say?
Well, he agreed that, you know, I said that these there's tunneling on some of the leaves that, if you're familiar with the tunneling that happens on your Swiss chard and beet leaves, the little leaf miners. So it's a little rose leaf miner that's doing that damage. And then the holes in the leaves could be from snails and slugs and earwigs. Okay. And there's also a particular rose slug. It's also called a pear slug. And they're really tiny little guys, and they just sit there and they munch away. And they usually don't go through the whole tissue of the leaf. They'll just chew one surface of the leaf, and then what's remaining starts to turn brown because it's killed. So yeah, we both agree that it could be one or all of those chewing bugs. And you know, you could put some organic snail and slug bait out. You can go out at night, 10 or 11 or 12 o'clock at night, with a flashlight and see if you can find the culprits and pick them off. And but the spider web stuff, I wouldn't worry about that. It's probably not spider mites out there that do cause some webbing. I don't see any evidence of those guys. So yeah, you got a few bugs out there having a heyday on your roses. And thanks to Jim Lang, you know, master gardener, rosarian, rose judge, luckily, he's in agreement with those.
And so
are the
you wouldn't
culprits.
Be spraying for these leaf miners?
No. Pick them off. Just pick them out. You know, you spray and spray, and then they come back, and, you know, just go out at night and pick them all off and pick off the leaf miner damage, which you'll see easily with all that tunneling going on. Just pick off all the leaves.
Okay. And one final question via email. This is from John in Santa Rosa. Do my cymbidiums need to be divided? And if so, how do I do it? What would you suggest to John?
Depends if they're busting out of their pots. Okay. Go ahead and do that. You'll see some bulbs there. They look like big onion bulbs. And if you squeeze them and they're hard, okay, keep them with bulbs that have leaves on them that are growing. Any of the bulbs that you can squish and they're mushy, or maybe they're hollow, dried out or whatever, you can take those out. So just be careful when you, depending on how big the plant is, how many pieces you can get out of it, and transplant that each piece. Say you cut it in half. They like to be pot bound and root bound, and they like to grow in tight quarters. So just get a pot that's a little bit bigger than that clump, and you can get some orchid bark, orchid mix, and mix them together, and replant them and give them a good drink of water. Keep them in morning sun, afternoon shade until they get more root systems growing, and hopefully that's it.
That'll be it. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to give away some tickets.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers. And our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show 2018.
In honor of all the dads in the North Bay, A Better Way Produce and Nursery is having a Father's Day weekend special. 20% off of everything in the nursery Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 20% off trees. 20% off ferns, 20% off hanging baskets, 20% off indoor and outdoor plants, 20% off everything. Make time to stop by this weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Marquis, where do I find this here gelati company?
Well, there's plenty of gelati companies in these parts, but only one big outfit, Gelati Construction.
And they're dang good, too.
Here they come now!
Doggone, that's one big outfit.
When the dust finally settles, Gelati Construction gets her done.
The family at Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home celebrate Dad this Father's Day for believing in us enough to keep on trying and loving us enough to make us grow. Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home celebrate, remember, and honor you this Father's Day.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
So here's how we do it at KSRO at Garden Talk. We randomly assign numbers to all the people that called or emailed. So whether you're caller number one or number 11, your chances are absolutely equal to winning these tickets. So Gwen, your two favorite numbers at random between 1 and 11.
Let's go with 3 and 8.
Caller number 3, Gary from Petaluma. Gary from Petaluma, you've won a pair of tickets. He wasn't calling number 3, but his number was assigned number 3. And number, what was it, 8?
8. Who's
That'd
eight?
Be Sue from Rohnert Park. Both of you have won a pair of tickets to the Sonoma Marin Fair's Wine Garden and Entrance Admission. You can come in anytime during the weekday and pick them up. You'll be notified by our friendly uniformed producer, Mike, in the other room on how to claim your tickets. Congratulations. We hope to see a lot of you next week at the fair. We'll be broadcasting live from 9 to noon Saturday morning. Gwen, hope to see you there.
Yes, I'll be there.
John Ash will be there, and we'll have a lively show for sure. Coming up next, speaking of John Ash, We'll head over to the KSRO kitchen from the greenhouse, where we welcome members of La Cocina to the Good Food Hour. That's all coming up next. This is KSRO.
On Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 and 94.5, Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.
I'm Dave Backer. Two tankers near the Strait of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf were attacked this week. And the United States, as video it says, proves Iran is to blame. ABC News Chief Global Affairs anchor Martha Raddatz says allies of our country are not entirely convinced yet.
President Trump told Fox News in a phone interview today that evidence proves Iran was behind the attacks.
Well, Iran did do it. I guess one of the mines didn't explode, and it's probably got essentially Iran written all over it, and that was their boat, and they didn't want the evidence left behind.
But the U.S. has not yet publicly released any evidence showing Iran placed the mines on the tankers. The German foreign minister today saying the video is not sufficient proof Iran is to blame.
In California, chaos erupted inside a Costco store in Corona as gunmen opened fire, killing one man and injuring two others last night. The alleged shooter now in police custody. Witnesses say customers started running for their lives but found locked doors, which only added to the panic. Investigators say the shooting stemmed from an argument inside the store. Amanda Knox has returned to Italy. That's the country where she spent nearly 4 years in prison for a murder conviction that was eventually overturned twice. This week, she spoke at the Italy Innocence Project in the northern city of Modena in a panel discussion on the media's impact on trials. ABC's Julia McFarlane has more.
This morning, an emotional Amanda Knox back in the spotlight and speaking only in Italian in a discussion on the media's impact on trials. Her mother sitting in the very front row. The 31-year-old describing what she went through and the sensational coverage of the case.
In France, the conclusion of the first mass since April and that fire that destroyed the spire and roof of Notre Dame Cathedral. The Archbishop of Paris celebrating with 30 attendees, mainly priests and church employees. You're listening to ABC News.
The kids were asking what to get you for Father's Day. Your son suggested a World's Greatest Dad t-shirt, and the girl's going with a pony.
Pony. Sweet.
Seriously, what can the kids get you?
You know what I'd really love?
That baseball card collection your mom threw out.
No. Well, yeah, but you know how I've been working late and traveling more?
Yeah.
Well, I worry about you guys, and I was reading reviews for Blink security cameras. People love these things. You can watch almost every angle of your house with these cameras, indoors and outdoors. They're motion activated, so when it detects something, I'll get an alert to my Blink smartphone app with a video of what it spotted.
Cool. So you're going Blink cameras over